Hello, everybody. It's Bill Knauer here, and we're getting ready for another episode of Author to Author, where we talk about writing and life, because you know what it takes to write the book you want to write is also what it takes to lead the life you want to lead. Author to Author is brought to you by Author Magazine, premier free writing magazine on the internet, featuring articles on writing, the writing life, and video interviews with all sorts of interesting writers across the genres, best-selling, award-winning authors. There's a fascinating conversation I had with a fellow named Michael Bianco Splon. He's a leadership coach and speaker, and he has a book called Conscious Leadership out. And I find the burgeoning field of leadership and the understanding of what that means to be a leader to be very interesting. And writers really are leaders. You know, you are the leader of your book. It's not the editors and not the agents. It's really you. It's really you. And I think that the principles that apply to conscious leadership absolutely apply to writing. So you can check that out at authormagazine.org. And we are funded by the Pacific Northwest Writers Association. We'll be supporting writers from pen to publication since 1955. Do a great conference every year. I'll be there again this year in July, late July, at the end of out here in Seattle. And I'll be teaching a fearless writing workshop, a master class there on the Thursday that starts the conference, and I'll also be teaching memoirs or the art of the personal essay. Plus, I think fearless marketing. Plus, there'll be tons of other great teachers. Donald Moss is going to come do his writing the breakout novel one-day seminar there on the Sunday. Oh, it's a great conference. Check it out at pnwa.org. Well, it's that time again, everybody. It's time for another fearless writing masterclass. I do love doing these, but I can't do them alone. And as always, with me, my good friend, confidant, and another fearless writer, R.J. Jeffries. R.J., welcome back.
Thank you so much, Bill. I am so thrilled to be back joining you with these wonderful fearless writing masterclasses. I learn what you teach,
yeah,
and I know how many other people learn from these.
Hey, I got some news for you.
You are the consummate
reviewer,
writer, and you're fearless.
Thank you. Thank you. But I want to share some news with you. Finally, today, I just learned this morning, people can now pre-order the book on Amazon. They can go on Amazon. Well, I suppose on Barnes & Noble, too. I just noticed on Amazon. It is available. You can get your copy secured for you. Fearless Writing from Writer's Digest Books. Available. Pre-order as of today, so it's very exciting.
Congratulations. You actually stole a little bit of my thunder because I was going to ask that during our talk today. And
yeah.
May I please share the dates? May 14th and the
I think actually, wait, I made a mistake. I think it's May 12th.
Wow.
The book
okay.
is actually out. You know, I'm going to double check one more time. You would think I would know. It's May 12th. It's May 12th.
And if I
May
can
12th.
Get the complete title, it's Fearless Writing, How to Create Boldly, correct?
You know, my publisher came up with the subtitle, and so I never remember it. It's How to Create Boldly and Write with Confidence, I believe, is the actual title. God, you'd think the author would know the title of his own book. I'm going to tell you what it is. I'm going to tell you.
I know
you
that the author knew what he was doing when he wrote it, and that matters.
He felt good writing it. He felt good writing it. But I had a little. Let me just hold on a second. Here, I'm going to tell you what it is. Come on. Where is it? How to Create Boldly and Write with Confidence. I was right. I knew what it was called. Yes, that's what it's called. And it'll be out.
Excellent.
It will be out next. Well, in a month and a half.
And everyone must get a copy. Pre-order would be even better. I'm doing it today.
I agree completely. Well,
I know that our sort of dynamic is that I read questions, wonderful questions from that we solicit and are given to us by wonderful writers, people in the arts.
Yep.
Today I'd like to ask you begin this today's show by asking you a couple of my own questions, if I may.
Absolutely. Love to hear them.
And it goes as such. You're the editor-in-chief of the wonderful, prestigious Author Magazine. You host these marvelous interviews, which we're doing now. And one of your most important tasks is to write your daily blog there. It consists of essays, I know you. I said it, and I'm going to say it again, which I find are exceptional. There must have been a process you underwent to where you are now able to write these with consistency and with such total clarity on your topic every day you do this, and it's 5 days a week, right?
I do them now about 2 or 3 days a week. I publish them 5 days a week, but for years I did them 5 days a week. Yeah, I've dialed it back a little bit recently once I started writing Fearless Writing. I was writing about writing out, but yeah, I certainly publish them about 5 days a week.
So this is actually a two-part question. I want to know, and I'm sure our listeners really do, what was that process? That's number one. And number two, how do you so effectively write these essays daily?
Well, the process, I was thinking about this today. I was actually talking to my wife about it, and I still think fearless writing, one of the tenets of fearless writing is that to write with your full confidence, with your full creative power, you have to, and to write with the understanding that you're going to share what you write with other people, you have this weird sort of yin and yang in that you have to know you're writing something that so that another person could benefit from it. And yet, in order to write with full confidence, in order to write fearlessly, you absolutely, during the writing process, have to forget about the people you're going to share your work with. At no time can the question, I wonder what other people will think of this work, enter into your mind. That single thought obstructs the entire process. And I had written for years and years, but hanging over my head was always the question of whether my book would sell or not, what would the agents think, what would an editor think, and no matter how interested I might have been in the book writing process, the question of what other people would think of it was always around just like a little cloud, and it always obstructed the experience, even if just slightly. But I'll tell you, just the slightest amount of doubt, RJ, I liken it to like you've got this beautiful glass of lemonade and one drop of vinegar can ruin the entire experience, and that can be what doubt is like, I find, that it just obstructs it just enough. And so what happened with the blogs is it was a trick I played, but it was powerful, which is I convinced myself that people weren't really reading it. I know it sounds strange, but I thought, well, nobody cares, just this online magazine I started and just this little thing. I really downplayed it, but what that allowed me to do was to write without the self-consciousness. So I was really just thinking to myself, even though people aren't going to read it, if they did, so I was playing all kinds of games, but it was a way to get me to stop worrying about them. If someone did read it, what's the very best thing I could share with them? And this did two things. One, it got my attention off what people would think of it and just onto what do I think is the most valuable perspective I could share with other people. And it got me to stop thinking about what other people would think about it. It also made me begin to look upon writing as service as opposed to something I was selling. It was service, not sales. Service, not sales. I'm in service to something bigger. And what happened was I learned what it felt like to write in that way, because it felt great not to wonder what other people were going to think about it, just to wonder, what am I interested in? Have I said it? What's interesting to me, and have I said it? And that feeling, it felt like play, it felt like communication with something, and I couldn't have felt more confident. I couldn't have felt more alive. I couldn't have felt more interested. And I didn't, and in what happened was I stopped caring about the results because I was so excited by and interested in and comforted by and inspired by the process, the experience of just listening to that thing we all listen to when we write. And by, the results came, but I learned I didn't have to think about the results. I just had to focus on the thing I was trying to share with other people, and eventually the results would come. And so what that did is it trained me to think not in terms of creating something great, but what does it feel like when you're tuned into the thing you want to tune into? What does it feel like when you're tuned in and not thinking about what other people could? Oh, and I had this experience, RJ, a very interesting experience. I was writing along, and it was going great. I was loving the pieces, and bit by bit I started hearing from a few people, oh, I really like that blog you write. And I thought, oh, people are reading it. How interesting. And then one day something very interesting happened. We went to interview a writer I had a lot of admiration for. And I had this idea in my mind that only sort of beginning sort of unpublished, struggling, striving writers were reading my blogs. I assumed that's who my readership was. I hadn't met any of my readers, but that's who I assumed they were. This was one of the people we were interviewing, and she said, oh, I love your blogs. And I thought, what? What? You know, this is an established writer. And so that was nice. And then shortly after that, I heard from her when I posted the blog, and she said something very complimentary about it. Oh, that's wonderful. The next time I sat down to write, that experience of her praising my work obstructed it, because now I was thinking about her. I started wondering, I wonder what she'll think of this one, and I wonder what she'll think of that one. And what happened is it was like I tasted the vinegar, RJ. You see, I could tell the difference between what that felt like and what it had felt like when I was writing. And I said, you know what? As much as I'm glad that this lovely writer that I admire and whose work inspires me likes my work, I can't think about her. I want to go back to that experience where I didn't think about what anybody cared about, because that's the best way to feel when I write. And it was an incredibly instructive moment, because that feeling of just coming out of myself ever so slightly was so uncomfortable after having spent so much time resting in my confidence. And so that was the big lesson I took from writing those blogs, as a practice of not caring what anyone will think about my work, but caring deeply what I'm interested in. And now I've forgotten the second part of the question, but that was really what that experience taught me. Every day, I had to go to that place within me where I was just, what am I interested in? How can I share it? What inspires me? What inspires me? What do I care about? What is useful to me? What is a way of looking at life that inspires me and makes me want to keep living? Like, what is the point of writing? I don't know. I don't understand. But what to me is the point of sharing anything if it doesn't remind you why getting up every day is worth doing? It is easy for me to walk down the street and tell people why life isn't worth living, why everything's shit, why everything is tough, and all this happens. That's easy. That is easy. You know what's tough is to say, this is why life is worth living. This is why it's beautiful. This is why this whole experience is worthy of the time in and of itself. That is something that is worthy of my attention. It is so easy to despair. It is so lazy to despair. It requires so much more focus to say, why is life worth living? And that was the question I would ask myself when I sat down to write, and there was always an answer if I asked it authentically.
We discussed wonderful answer, Bill. We talked about this previous to airing to the show, starting about, you're saying service, and it's sharing, isn't it? Those are synonymous.
Yeah.
Doing a service, talked about, you know, another author who shared, and it was about, you asked her a question. Can you repeat that? It was a wonderful.
Yeah, well, I said to this writer, I said, it's actually going to be our next interview on Annie Hartnett's her name. She wrote a book called Rabbit Cake. Lovely book. She's a lovely young woman. Has the book. It's out now. And so I did the interview yesterday. It'll be on air. It'll air it in the middle of April. But I asked my usual question of what's writing taught you, and what she said is, and this is the first one, interestingly, who's answered this in the hundreds of times I've asked this question. I said, what has writing taught you? And she said that, I can't remember the exact quote, but it was, writing is more fun when you share it. Writing is more fun when you share it. And I think she's absolutely right. And that fun is a critical word. It's not about success. It's not money. It's not about the people buying your work and validating your value as a person. But the fun of sharing the work, of watching it take on its own life, it's so exciting because it does things that, you know, have you ever written theater for theater, RJ?
Actually, ironically, it's a great question. My first play was actually produced by the Actors Workshop in Boston when I was 26 years old. And I certainly have.
Oh, wow. Okay, so great. So I did some theater writing when I was a young man. And I had this experience early on where I was imagining this play. And I was working in a restaurant, and I could picture this first scene so vividly. It was so cool to me. And I was an actor myself, and so I was in my mind playing all the parts because I could hear the exact what I wanted everybody to say, and I was imagining how everybody would say it. And I spent all this time just imagining it. And finally I said, well, let's write at least what I know. So I sat down and wrote like the first 5 or 10 pages of this play, and it was so exciting and different and cool to me. I was so interested in it. And so I printed them out, and my brother and my best friend Chris were both actors as well. And one day they came over to the house to hang out. I said, hey guys, I've got this first 10 pages of play. Can we just read it? I've been hearing it in my head, but I've never like shared it with anybody. And they said, okay, fine. So I passed out the pages, and I had never had this experience, interestingly. And what happened then was quite magical to me, because I gave them the pages and we started doing the scene. And what happened was they read it differently than I had imagined it. Now that sounds obvious, but it was kind of a revelation to me, because what I saw then, which is what every writer goes through when they share their work, is they, my brother and Chris, brought their own imagination, their own ideas, their own inspiration to the words I had written, and the thing changed, and the thing took on new life. And as interested as I was in my interpretation of the words I had written, it was so much more exciting to see that something I had written could inspire something else in somebody else. It grew immediately. And so that I understood, in a way, the magic of sharing at that moment, just there in my living room with my brother and best friend, in a way that continues to repeat itself as I then share my work with strangers and publish books and so on. It is so much fun to see it take life in someone else. It's the best word for what it is. And I think she's right. I think that if you can look upon publication as sharing and look upon it as fun as opposed to something you've got to do to survive, or something you've got to do for your ego to survive, to know that you're valuable and smart and worthy and talented, but simply as something that's fun. Because if you wrote it, I hope it was fun for you to write, at least some of the time you're working on it. I know it's tough sometimes. I know there are days where it doesn't come easily. I know there are days where you doubt it. But when you stop doubting it, and when it does start coming, it is fun. It is like Stephen King said, every day he writes, he says, it's like a trip to the playground. Well, it is like that once you get going. It should be fun. It should be fun. That's how you know you're on the right track. And then to share that with someone else, because when you're having fun, don't you want to share it with someone else? When you're laughing at a movie, isn't it better when you're laughing with someone else? When you have a story to tell, isn't it best to tell it to someone else? That's the fun. That's the fun, because when you share it with other people, it expands. It expands immediately, magically. It's wonderful. And so if you can think about the second half of the writing process, the sharing process, as something that is just fun and exciting, you'll have less resistance to doing it, as opposed to something you have to do to know it was that the book was worth writing, or the story was worth writing.
That's wonderful. Just to follow up and conclude my question, Bill, and we're asked this so often during these shows, you know, blocks and impediments and just not finding the... So I just want to get your take on writing with consistency. Does that bring just more clarity to what you want to write as soon as you sit down? It seems to me more immediate if I'm writing consistently.
Consistency, I think, is incredibly important because it helps you practice getting into the frame of mind where writing is possible. Fearless writing is really about getting into the frame of mind where you can begin to use your craft. But first you have to get into that right frame of mind. And consistency, what happens is, remember I described that, so I just described the experience of having a friend of mine tell me how much she liked my work and how even that lovely as that praise was, the thought of that obstructed the writing. That was that drop of vinegar. Well, what happens is if you don't get used to the feeling of being in that zone, if you don't start calling that zone normal, you'll start calling the struggle normal. And so the advantage of writing every day or 5 days a week, if you can, even if only for an hour, is you hopefully get habituated to the feeling of what it is to get into the flow, what it is to feel like to become immersed in the story. And so the other experience of struggling, of doubting, starts to feel abnormal. And so it's easier to recognize. You see, back when I used to allow myself to struggle all the time, I didn't call doubt abnormal. I just thought it was a natural consequence of being a writer. But as I doubt myself less and less and less now, when I do start doubting what I'm doing, which I still do, but when I do, I notice it more, and I'm more likely to say, what's going on? Why am I questioning this thing that I love? Whereas years before, I wouldn't, because I accepted that feeling of struggle as just what life feels like. But if you get into the habit of writing regularly without questioning yourself. So sometimes what I'll do with clients when I'm working with them, I just had a client at a Fearless Writing Workshop the other day who had had an experience of she had almost published a book. She came so close, but then the book got orphaned. And she was very disappointed, but she went to write her next book. But what happened is because she'd had this experience with publication that really wasn't very satisfying, she started writing with the thought of trying to publish, writing with the thought of how can I get this book published and not have the same experience with this book that I had with the last one. And the experience was no fun. The book that she almost got published was fun because she just loved the subject and she wasn't thinking about publishing it until she was done. But the next book, she was thinking about publishing it while she was writing and she couldn't do it. So what I said to her was this: your assignment for the next month is to write every day, and your job is not to write a publishable book. Your job is to spend a month getting back into the groove that you had before, and you write with the idea that your practice is to just forget about the publishing world. And when you think about the publishing world, you stop writing, let that thought go, and then go back in. But look upon writing not as the craft, not as trying to write something that you'll publish, but just to remember what it is to write something for the pleasure of writing. You have to get back into that frame of mind to be able to produce something, ironically, that will be published. But the first thing you have to do is remember what it feels like to write without a thought of publication. You have to remember what that feels like, and it feels great. And then the time comes for publishing it. First, though, you've got to remember what it feels like to write for the pleasure of the idea that you're pursuing, and let that be enough. Let that be enough. Does that make sense?
Bill, I could not agree more. You're right, because if you don't, it steals the joy. And I have to quote once again and give a quick anecdote on Ray Bradbury, you know, who is just shoulders above everybody else for me. And when he said, you must stay drunk on writing so reality can't destroy you, I know what he was saying. He was saying, love your work, love what you're doing, and just stay in the joy of it. And I remember the story he said many years ago, and it really moved me, that he would get up in the middle of the night, being older, he got to be his 90s, and he would go downstairs to his little writing den with his Royal Manual typewriter, you know, 100 years old, sitting that he worked on forever, and pull a book off the shelf and read something he wrote 40, 50, 60 years ago at least, and it would bring him to tears. That always with me.
You know why that's moving to me, and this is something I think every writer, if they're honest, can connect with, which is that, you know, you write the thing, and then you forget it, because really it came through you, and writing, when you write something, it does. It, I always think of it like dreams. I mean, I like analyzing my dreams to some degree. I enjoy a certain amount of that, but the dreams themselves always do a kind of work by themselves. The dreams take me someplace useful. And writing is the same way. The experience to write something is to go on a journey. And really, that's my experience of the piece. And then I share it, and everyone else has their own experience, but I've already moved on from the thing. Even the blogs I post, the next day I'm done with them and I've moved on. And so when you reread your own work, it's kind of a strange experience because, yes, you did bring it into the world, but it feels like something that is separate from you at the same time. Because I don't think they really belong to us ever. We just shepherd them in, you know. There's us and there's our work, and it's a relief to remember we're not the work, but we are that which allowed it into the world, but it's different than thinking we are it.
Which goes back to the point we're sharing.
Yeah, you are sharing, because it doesn't belong to you, so you can share it. Can absolutely share. You know, and I want to say to our listeners, this may sound all very theoretical, but when it gets down to it, the difference between writing happily and successfully is what we're talking about now. It is the way you look at your work. If you don't have the correct relationship to what sharing is, the very act of trying to share your work will screw up the writing of it and will actually keep you from sharing it. I can speak from my own experience. My relationship to criticism. I used to believe I was terrified of criticism, that I hated it. I didn't want to hear one word about what I had written from anybody. And that completely obstructed my ability to get not just feedback, but just to share my work, because I was terrified of what other people would think of it if they didn't love it, or so I thought. And it turned out that I can survive quite easily when people don't love what I've written, but I didn't believe it at the time. And so just that belief was keeping me from sharing my work or being able to share my work. And so these things we're talking about now,
also,
I was going to say that while they sound theoretical in a way, there's nothing has been more practical than that.
Please repeat that. I interrupted you.
Oh, that's okay. So these concepts may sound sort of theoretical and maybe not as hard and fast as like learning about verbs and nouns and character and structure and so on, but having the proper relationship to sharing our work, understanding the proper relationship to our own curiosity, the proper relationship to other people's opinion of our work is absolutely fundamental to the experience of being an author, of writing something to share with other people. The mind is fast and slippery, and what we believe about the experience of writing and what we believe about the experience of sharing our work with other people has everything to do with whether we have a good experience writing and whether we're able to have a successful experience sharing that work. It all begins with belief and then flows from that.
That's wonderful. Can we fit one question in, which is so apropos to what
sure.
we've just... You know, Bill, I'm honored to work as contributing editor for Tverra Journal and the senior
yeah.
producer for our own Tverra Talk interviews as well.
Yeah.
Can I put a plug in?
Plug away.
On April 10th, we're honored to be interviewing the current U.S. United States Poet Laureate, Juan Felipe Herrera. So please join
wow.
us for that.
Wow.
Yeah,
say it again. So you're going to be interviewing our Poet Laureate?
Yes.
And where can
Juan,
they find it?
It will be on Blog Talk Radio, and they'll see it in social media. It's going to be promoted all over the place.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Bill. So this question comes from, and also I'm, again, so honored to be part of Tverra Journal. Just they are essential for continuing and sharing for the literary arts and the spiritual connections with our community there. That's all about, here's another connected dot, that's all about sharing.
It is. It absolutely
And this
is.
Question comes from the Tverra Journal founder and publisher, Donna Bear Stein.
Oh,
the
yeah.
question, these days, as I get back to writing after focusing on novel promotion the last months, is how do I increase the number of hours a day I write? How appropriate.
How do you increase the number of hours a day you write? Well, you write more. That's the easy answer. You know, the only reason people don't write more is because they have some story about the writing that interferes with the experience. So in other words, I don't know what Donna's going through, but maybe she's got, you know, if the thought around writing is this, oh, I've got this new idea. It's so exciting. I can't wait to get at this new story. And I've been writing the same story, and it's been great, and I love that story, but I got a new story. And there's nothing like a new story that excites me and gets me, get my creative juices flowing again, and I can't wait to get to the page and start exploring these new characters and this new story idea. If that's what she was going through, I think she would find plenty of time to write. But my guess is she's got something along the lines of, well, that book went out, but I wonder if I can write the next one, and I wonder if I can match that, or I wonder if I can do better than that. And so she's probably got some question about the next project that is keeping her from writing it.
I think you
Does that make sense?
That's it.
Yeah, I think there's some question. So what she it's an interesting thing, but you have to say to yourself, what is waiting for me at the desk? Is it possible failure? Is it some challenge you don't think you're up to? Or is it that playground that Stephen King described? What is it? And so there must be something, because she wouldn't not write if there was just nothing but pleasure waiting for her. No one who's starving doesn't eat. You know, no one who's got their best friend at home who they haven't seen in a year is going to delay getting home to talk to them. So
right.
there has to be something waiting for her there besides just the pleasure of pursuing the next. So what I would say to her, if she were my client, well, start talking about the story that you're going to write if you've got an idea. Start thinking about it and just think about what is so cool about it. Don't think about finding the time to write. Forget about that. But first focus on why you love that story. What is so awesome about it? Why it excites you? Nothing but that. Why is it so interesting to me? Don't think about publishing it. Don't think about your agent. Just why is that story so interesting and so worthy of my time? And whenever you picture writing, again, don't picture trying to find more time. Just picture, I'm going to write. Let it be a picture of that. Imagine that story like your best friend, and you're going to go be with them. And you don't know what they're going to say. You know, because conversation, it's always a little mysterious, but you know it's going to be interesting. It's always interesting when I talk to that friend, and know that that's waiting for you at the desk. That's what's waiting for you. And let be disciplined, not in getting your butt into the chair, but be disciplined in how you think about it. Only think about writing in that way. And if she finds herself thinking about, but will the next book be any good? Will it sell more? My agent said the next one has to be more high concept, blah, 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 whatever thoughts she's, whatever questions were brought up in the publication of that last book. She has to be disciplined in putting all that aside and say, none of that matters for the writing. All that matters is how interested I am in that story. She's got to get out of the marketing mode, get out of that publishing mode, get out of that sharing mode, actually, because that comes later. First, there comes the idea has to, before she can share something, it has to take form in her. And so she has to get back to being interested in the idea just for itself, unconditionally. And once she does that, quite magically, she will find the time to write. Or the time that she does have will be spent
better.
I think
it's appropriate as well if she does sit down before that, before writing, and say, what do I want to share today? With that,
do I have something I even want to say?
Exactly.
First, find out what it is you want to say. What is the thing?
Well, while this flew by, as they always do, Bill, please mention your book again, and also
right,
where can find you and work with you.
Okay, so the book is Fearless Writing, How to Create Boldly and Write with Confidence by Writer's Digest Books. It'll be, you can pre-order it now on Amazon. I saw it on Amazon. I assume it's on Barnes & Noble, too. And it'll be out in May. It'll be published May 12th. I am at williamcanower.com. I work with clients, actually, people who like, I'm a writing coach. I'm like a life coach for writers. That's why I'm not an editor.
Sure.
I'm a life coach for writers. And I do that for individuals. I talk to groups. I lead workshops. If you have any questions at all, williamcanower.com. That's the hub of my internet empire. You can go there and learn all you need to learn.
And also you're on Twitter at WDBK.
At WDBK. I'm on Facebook. My friends has not maxed out. So if you want to friend me, I'll friend you. Come find me. I'm happy to friend you. The more friends, the merrier.
What a good friend you'll have, Bill. Trust me. Go for it.
Well, and thank you. Thank you, RJ. I know this was a tough day for you, and so you soldiered on and you came anyway. I so appreciate it. I could not do this without you. You do more good, I think, in the world than you have any understanding of, my friend. So just know that. Know that.
And one of these days, Bill, I want you to be able to ask me that end question.
It'll happen. It'll happen. Well, everybody.
Thank you so much, friend. This has been amazing. Congratulations on the wonderful news. What a wonderful day today. What a wonderful
day. It was a great
day. And ourselves and our work. Congratulations. I could not be more thrilled for you and your book.
Thank you so much, RJ. And thank you, all you listeners. We only got to one question, but, you know, all questions are answered, I think. I won't be here next week, but I will be doing the show again with Ellen Tad, the novelist Ellen Tad, on April 11th. Until then, go write fearlessly, create boldly.